Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
How's it, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of The Command Zone. I'm your host, Josh Lee Kwai.
And I'm DJ.
DJ from Jumbo Commander. Again, as we say every episode, if you go on over to YouTube, put in the search bar Jumbo Commander, you'll find DJ's channel. We are continuing our coverage of the Commander 2018 product.
It's great, Josh. I'm so excited.
It looks so sweet. This is our favorite time of year, obviously, because they are putting out products specifically for our format. Bunch of cool stuff. We've got Planeswalkers back as commanders in multicolor this time. We're all very excited. And on this episode, we're going to be breaking down the Lord Windgrace Nature's Vengeance deck. DJ, you actually did the breakdown.
I know. I'm super excited. Not only is this a Lands Matter deck, which is phenomenal. I'm so excited about it.
We were just talking on the show about
literally using... this is what I was saying we wanted with Vivictus Asmati. It was like, well, we really just want a Jund Lands Matter commander, so let's just shoehorn. No, we have a Panther awesome Jund Planeswalker all about lands that we can talk about today.
Very, very exciting. But before we get into it, you're going to hear about a bunch of cards today. We're going to doing the same thing where we're taking the pre-con and telling everybody how to do a quick upgrade, sort of breaking it down by the numbers, figuring out the best way to play it, the best way to upgrade it. And all that stuff you hear, including this commander deck, if you want to pre-order it right now, you can go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. You use that affiliate link when you're ordering. And something to keep in mind is there's only a few days left now to get an order into Card Kingdom using our affiliate link and still receive that code that will unlock the Game Night's Lifelinker background. That promotion is only available within the month of July. So when August 1 hits, the codes are not being handed out anymore. So if you want that, make sure to pre-order your commander product or whatever else you're getting within the next, it's like just a couple of days, so you can make sure to get that unlock code. And we've got all of the Commander 2018 themed Ultra Pro playmats.
This looks so cool.
Deck boxes, sleeves. Ultra Pro always does all the theme stuff. They've got the license agreement with Wizards of the Coast to do all of this stuff. And you might have noticed in the last couple episodes, we added something new to the set. We've got a banner that's sort of back here behind DJ. That is the Knights of New Benalia. That's the art. And this is something that Ultra Pro is beginning to do. If you watch or are a fan of Game Nights, you have seen the Nicol Bolas banner that we had in the background and have had for so many episodes. And that's just something that Ultra Pro is doing. They've got other banners with other images on it. I saw Jace the Mind Sculptor one.
Do we need other banners if we have that one there? That's insane.
That one is sweet. So look for Ultra Pro products like the scrolls that you might want to hang up in your house, in your room, in your game room,
Night
studio set.
for all of the Game Night studios out there, go get yourself a banner. No, I think it looks awesome in a game room and so many cool places.
Yeah, so Ultra Pro continuing to up their game all the time. They make the coolest stuff. And the final way to support our show is directly if you go to patreon.com/commandzone. You can contribute right to us. Our patrons get all kinds of cool benefits. The best one, I think, is being able to watch Game Nights earlier than the rest of the public. And I said this last episode, but in case you missed it, the next episode is going to be Commander 2018. us battling it out with those decks. And you will get to see it early if you're a patron. So make sure to head on over to patreon.com/commandzone. And another benefit is we call out one lucky patron every single episode. And this episode is dedicated to Ted Lander. Ted, you rock. All right, DJ, let's get into it. Lord Windgrace, the Jund Lands Matter Planeswalker. You were literally just asking for it, and here we are.
I was just asking for it, and now we have it. I'm so excited. Basically, what's great about Lands Matters decks is that we're forced to spend 40% of our 100-card command deck on lands. We have to have a bunch of lands in our deck. We're forced to, and for the most part, we just draw it and play it, and nothing but.
Normally, that's the boring part of our deck, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But with a Lands Matter General, we get to manipulate these lands. We get to sacrifice them, bounce them, put them to the graveyard, take them back out again. We have more opportunities to play awesome utility lands. There's just so much room for creativity when you have more access to your deck. And in this, you have a whole area that we can tweak our mana base.
Yeah, that 40% that normally is kind of boring is now it actually really matters and it's the fun part of your deck. So now all your cards sort of matter when you draw them. I do really like that aspect. Again, a reminder for the purposes of this episode, we're looking at the deck straight out of the box and just a quick upgrade to it. So those people that want to grab it, you know, go to your LGS or order it at cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Get a hold of it really quickly. Just upgrade it so that it has a chance against other actual commander decks. But, you know, it takes a while, I think, for me. It can take me a couple of days of just concentrated brewing to make an entire deck. And that's not even gathering the cards. That's just figuring out what I want in there. So this is a way to sort of, because you buy something, you want to play it right away.
Oh, totally. And also, when you want to know what direction it's going. We're going to help you figure out what direction this deck is going and where you should take it. But sometimes it's not as effective just replacing 99 cards in a commander deck. Instead, you want to play it, see what you like, and you might find different cards and more interesting cards that you hadn't thought about without playing it. So we definitely suggest you play it straight out of the box, and we definitely suggest you take your time upgrading this deck and really get to know it and enjoy playing it.
And for the purposes of this, we are going to be a little bit more budget conscious than we maybe normally are. We're going to try to stay away from cards that are above $25 and keep most of the cards that we're suggesting adding in to $5 or less. So with all those caveats aside, let's take a look at the new commanders that are available in this Nature's Vengeance pre-con. There are, as usual, three sort of commanders in the Jund color. I was going to say color pairing, but in the Jund shard.
Yeah,
that was the word shard. I was looking for that word, and I finally found it.
You have three commanders that can lead this deck straight out of the box.
Right.
And you have a couple others that might be able to be used if you create something else.
Right.
Yeah. Let's start off with the headliner, Lord Windgrace, the Planeswalker. 2BG for a 5 loyalty Planeswalker, Windgrace. +2 reads... discard. There's a lot of text on this thing.
And it's foily. And there's bright
foily,
lights in
foily
here.
And stuff like that. Discard a card, then draw a card. If a land card is discarded this way, draw an additional card. Okay, that's +2 again. So that takes it from 5 loyalty all the way up to 7 loyalty.
The -3 is return up to 2 target land cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. So you discard with the first ability to draw extra cards, and then once you have a couple in there, you can negative and just get those lands back out. So it's not like you're discarding them for good. That's a good sort of rotational value thing that's going on there, right? It's circular.
It seems like a value commander right there.
Yeah. And then you can -11, which is the ultimate, and destroy up to 6 target non-land permanents, then create 6/2/2 green cat warrior creature tokens with Forest Walk. So you gun down 6 things and create 6/2/2s with Forest Walk.
I mean, I like killing 6 things. I like 2/2s, but they're not 6/6 worms. They don't have haste. It seems like the ultimate is not really game winning.
I don't know. Destroy 6 non-land permanents feels pretty good.
In a 4-player game, though.
Yeah, but 6, that's 2 each. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's going to win the game most times, or at least put you in position to win the game, especially
against the person that has a forest that you can forest walk over and.
Well, that person's probably dead, yeah. I mean, considering that you've gotten your Planeswalker 2 ultimate, so you haven't been able to be attacked for a little while, and your board's probably stayed intact.
Yeah.
Because that just tends to be the situation when you get to naturally ultimate. Unless doubling season or something. It's definitely not like crazy game winning. I think it probably will get you into position to win, but you're right. It's not de facto you win. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. I mean, the first two abilities, and those are the ones we care about because ultimating a planeswalker is just naturally is just very, very hard. But this whole thing where I discard a land, I draw two cards, and then I do that a couple times, and then I negative and I get the two lands into play.
So
then it ramps you. It draws you. What do we say every deck needs? Card draw and mana ramp. What does this card do? Draws you cards and ramps you.
Great.
I dropped the mic right there. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this card a lot.
Do we have other...
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if we have other commanders in here that can lead up to this.
Well, one was our preview card.
Our preview card.
Got a lot of text. Do you want me to...
We can cover it. Do you just get to read everything now that...
How about the ones with a lot of text? Okay, go for it.
So here's the Gyrus Waker of Corpses, X black, red, green for a 0/0 legendary Hydra. This creature enters the battlefield with a number of +1/+1 counters on it equal to the amount of mana spent to cast it.
Okay. So commander tax does count in that. And so commander tax almost doesn't matter for this card other than that you do have to pay it. But it always will contribute to the number of counters on it.
That's great.
Yeah.
And then there's another line of text here. It's whenever Gyrus attacks, you may exile target creature card with lesser power from your graveyard. If you do, create a token that's a copy of that card and that's tapped and attacking. Exile the token at the end of combat.
So you kind of Alesha something. We sort of made that comparison on the preview card episode. We went over a bunch of cards that we think would be good in a Gyrus deck. But generally, self-milling to get a bunch of options for you in there and then...
Yeah. So in this deck specifically, you know, because we talked about Gyrus just kind of in general as a cool preview card. But in this deck specifically, it seems to synergize with Lord Windgrace a little bit because Lord Windgrace puts things into the graveyard.
That's true. You do not have to. You do not have to discard a land. You just can.
Yeah.
You could discard a creature card that Gyrus could get back out.
I do want to discard lands.
Yeah, no, you want to. I'm just saying you don't have
to.
The other Jund commander in the deck is Thantis, the Warweaver. It's 3 and Jund, 3 black, red, green for a 5/5 legendary creature spider. How is Thantis not a mantis? It's vigilance and reach. It says all creatures attack each combat if able. Okay.
Okay.
And then whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, put a 1/1 counter on Thantis the Weaver. So Thantis is a stop sign by himself, and as people attack you, it gets bigger and bigger and it has reach. So I guess it's supposed to be a thing where everyone's going to attack each other and not you.
Sure, I guess so. I like the art on it. I think the art is pretty cool.
It's a fire spider.
We didn't talk about the fact that it's a spider. Does that matter? Are there any red spiders? Like, because Ishkenaah is the Golgari spider commander.
Yeah. It doesn't say all spiders do anything. It doesn't care.
Yeah.
Otherwise than, like, I guess of that tribe. I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of this card. It doesn't seem that great. The rate's not even that good. A 5/5
for six.
Vigilance reach for six. Like
with three different colors in it?
Yeah. It should be at least a 6/6. And just to be... It should have Death Touch or something. Like, give me something else because it just seems the rate is bad. I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with this card. It's interesting. But why is it not a mantis?
Is there such a creature type? I mean, I know there's such a creature as mantis, but are there mantises in Magic, or are they insects?
I don't know. I'm going to shout my buddy Kyle Hill out because he's the first one that made that joke, and I'm just stealing it. Thantis the Mantis. Kyle, I know you're listening.
I like that it kind of creates some chaos. I like it when everyone's forced to attack. It kind of opens up the game a little bit. It could be a really fun commander. Speaking of fun commanders.
Okay, this one's cool. You can't run it as the commander of the deck out of the box, though.
Yeah. Zancha.
I think it's Sleeper. Like Sancha, but it's Sancha? Zancha.
Zancha?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a cool name.
Yeah.
Zancha. I really like the
name with an X in it is cool.
Zancha. Sleeper agent. Zancha is 1 black red for a 5/5.
3 mana 5/5. That's the rate I'm talking about. Look, Thantis is 6 mana for that. Okay.
And this is a minion. As Zancha, sleeper agent, enters the battlefield, an opponent of your choice gains control of it.
So you choose, you cast it, and then you just give it to an opponent.
Here you go. You can have that. Okay.
I don't want a 5/5.
Zancha attacks each combat if able and can't attack its owner or planeswalkers its owner controls.
So they can't attack you.
And it's got to attack, and it's not coming at you.
So you play it, and you say, here, Josh, you can have this, and I can't attack you with it.
Yeah, or your I'm okay with that. Like, just you do the attacking for me.
I get a 5/5.
Okay. It has an activated ability. For 3 generic mana, Zancha's controller loses 2 life, and you draw a card. Any player may activate this ability.
Okay, I don't want it. Don't give it to me. Give it to Jimmy.
And then you can activate
it. Give it to Craig.
Deal 2 damage and then draw your card.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That seems great.
Okay, so infinite mana once again immediately kills that opponent and everybody, right? Because you just cast it again, give it to the next person.
Yeah, as that player dies, you're just like, sweet, you die. This goes back to the command zone. I'll recast it again, donate it to the next player.
And because I have infinite mana, I'll kill you. And then I guess you could mill yourself out.
You could
out
run out
of
cards, yeah.
40, 40, 120. Yeah, you could. Although they've drawn...
because it's 2 damage for every card you draw.
Oh.
So
you only need 60
cards? You only
cards?
Need 60 cards to do it.
Okay. So probably you're not going to
You're probably
out of
not going to run out of cards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a cool card.
It is a very cool card. It's very Rakdos.
Yeah.
It's chaotic and punishing, and that's why I'm going to do a deck tech about this.
It is pretty sweet. Okay.
I think it's great.
Okay, so those are our choices, although Zancha can't be the commander. So it's really between Thantis, Gyrus, and Lord Windgrace. I think everybody knows.
I think we're leaning towards a specific commander, yeah, aren't we?
I think so. But we're gonna do the ready. Stats. That was pretty good. Not bad for your second time.
It's good.
Yeah.
I'm what helped me is I imagined a transformer. Just like transforming. Yeah.
Autobots, roll out.
Yeah, except
Let's
for the name
transform.
Of the name of the Autobot was Stats. Okay.
Stats.
Is this like a Scottish or an,
I don't know.
A
it's
Scottish
like, it
transformer?
Sean Connery a little bit.
Stats.
I am the last transformer. Okay. How okay. much card draw?
Let's talk about the
deck,
stats. Let's
DJ.
Talk about it. It has 6 sources of card draw and some graveyard synergies. So if you have enough things messing around with the graveyard, that might be card draw.
I don't. Maybe in this deck, because usually I wouldn't count that as card draw because it can't get you lands to hit your land drop. But in this deck, it kind of could.
Yeah.
So maybe a little. But
yeah, that's why
even if you round it a little and say 7 or 8, it's still low.
It's still low. Yeah.
Although Lord Windgrace does have card advantage on him. So that's a guaranteed source.
Exactly.
So maybe you don't need quite as much.
Yeah. Ramp spells, 12.
That's awesome.
That seems pretty awesome. Targeted removal, 7.
Oh, that's a lot.
Solid.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah,
solid. Board wipes, 5.
Okay, so we're really good in the board wipe. You got lucky.
You see that?
Lucky. I was coming back.
You were like, board wipes are 5.
This is great.
That's pretty great.
I think this is about perfect, about what you want as far as numbers. Now, we don't know what the quality of each of those are, but that seems like right
it seems
on
okay.
par. The only thing you could say is the card draw seems a little low, but again, with Lord Windgrace.
Maybe there's enough synergies to make up for that.
Yeah.
Themed cards. I want to talk about lands because this is a Lands Matter deck. There's 43 lands in this deck. That gives you plenty of lands to pitch to Lord Windgrace. Seems pretty good.
Yeah, I had a Lands Matter 5-color, but it was mostly a Gitrog deck, and it had 44 lands. So this, I believe, is the correct amount.
All right. Also, because we're dealing with lands, cards with landfall, 7. That's pretty,
pretty
solid,
good.
Including
there's a new one.
A new one, which I'm very excited about. I like this a lot.
This card seems really good. So it's 3 red for a dragon called Nesting Dragon. It's a 5/4, has flying as dragons do, but it has landfall. So whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you create a 0/2 red dragon egg creature token with Defender. If you know what the card Dragon Egg does, this is the exact same. So you're creating a token, and when it dies, you create a 2/2 red dragon creature token with flying that has red. This creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. So you get a 2/2 with fire breathing when the egg dies. So every time you get landfall, you get a dragon egg. And every time the dragon egg dies, like if somebody board wipes or something, you get 2/2s with fire breathing.
Yeah. So basically landfall gets you board wipe insurance.
This is
that seems great.
It's kind of rampaging Baelothy.
And it's look at this rate. 3 red for a 5/4 flying dragon.
That's insanity, by the way, because, that's crazy powerful as far as the rate. Like, 5 mana, you would assume it was like a 4/4 with like a small ability.
Yeah.
Like
it was
a
great ability.
This ability is crazy. Yeah, this seems really good. Especially, you could play this card and then minus Lord Windgrace, immediately put 2 lands onto play, get 2 dragon eggs, and you're pretty insulated at that moment from board wipes, because if you lose the nesting dragon, you get the same amount basically back with your two dragon eggs. This card seems great.
It seems really good. And it also seems really solid in dragon decks because it makes dragon eggs and then you make more dragons with it. It's dragons on dragons on dragons. It's great.
Yeah, that card's going to go in a lot of decks.
Yeah. One other card. So we talked about land synergies, and so that was Landfall.
So Landfall is just a kind of land synergy, but there are other kinds of land synergy, right?
So totally.
There are a lot of other cards in the deck that care about lands in some way. There's about 9 of those. And there's a new one there, too.
Yeah. Well, let me talk about the old one.
Okay, sure. I'll read the new one.
The old one is Worm Harvest. Worm Harvest is 2 Golgari, Golgari, Golgari. That's either green or black. So that's 5 CMC total. Create a 1/1 black and green worm creature token for each land card in your graveyard. And not only does it interact with land cards in your graveyard, but it has retrace, which lets you recast this when you chuck a land to your graveyard.
So you can cast it out of your graveyard if you discard a land when you do it, basically.
It's great.
Yeah. So Lord Windgrace is going to be putting lands into the graveyard to draw 2 cards. So you're going to get lands in that way. There are other ways in the deck to get lands in the graveyard. And then at a certain point, Worm Harvest gets cast. It goes to the graveyard, and it also allows you to put lands in your graveyard with retrace, which it then counts to make worm tokens. Worm Harvest, if you've ever seen it go off, it is a win condition in many sort of melee-type decks. And just kind of creates this engine that's really hard to stop, where a board wipe doesn't even hurt you anymore because you're like, I make 20 worms. And they're like, board wipe. And you're like, I make 21 worms. And they're like, board wipe. And you're like, I make 22 worms. And they're like, I'm out of board wipes. You're dead.
Yeah. It's nice because it turns those. We have 43 lands and we need to sort of weaponize them.
Yep.
And retrace totally lets us do that.
Another retrace spell, and this is a new one from Commander 2018. It's called Reality Scramble. It's 2 red-red for a sorcery. Put target permanent you own on the bottom of your library. Reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a card that shares a card type with that permanent. So if you do a creature, you'll get a creature. Artifact, you get an artifact. Land, you'll get a land. And then you put that card onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. And again, it has retrace. So you can kind of take a worm token and you can turn it into a real creature. I'm a real boy.
It sounds cool. One of these... Not this one. You could turn it into a spider or something like that.
Thantis the spider. You could turn it into, yeah.
I don't know if it's, I think this is a great card. I think it's really cool. I love that you can discard lands with it, but I'm wondering what you're shoveling on the bottom of your library and what you're getting back out of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some tokeny creator stuff, and I think that that's a good way to use Reality Scramble.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you have to get the same type. So you have to hit something small. Like you mentioned a token because it's kind of what you have to do. If it was any permanent, you could shove a land down there.
You might be able to set this up too. Like there's not a lot of artifacts in this deck. So you might be able to just basically know like what the other artifact is. So I'm going to get that for sure. Or, you know.
That sounds good.
One of two. Like a lot of these type of spells. But it has retrace. So you kind of want to do it over and over. But I guess you can be like, oh, I missed. I'll do it again and see. I don't know. I don't know if it's good, but it's cool.
I think it's really cool.
You're usually the one that says that. I'm usually the one saying, like, it's not very good. What happened to us?
Well, I think that one thing we're talking about is in the context of this deck.
Right.
And so in the context of this deck, they made a very well-rounded deck. There's tons of stuff all up and down the curve. And so if you change in a creature, you might just hit somewhere else on the curve, not really upgrade tremendously.
Right.
So that's why I'm a little bit underwhelmed right here. But if you build your deck around it, if you have something specific, like Josh mentioned, you engineer it so that you turn in mana rocks into something awesome, then that sounds great to me.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the deck because they always put in a little bit of synergy that's sort of focused around those other two commanders. And let's just see if there's even, I think we both know we're leaning towards the land matter thing because that's fun. But let's just see how much of the deck is dedicated to these other two commanders, Gyrus and Thantis. There's a little bit of self-mill and other ways to get creatures into your graveyard, not necessarily just self-mill. There's like 4 cards that do it. There is a cool new one, which I think works in a self-mill deck.
Yeah.
When I read it at first, it kind of scratched my head. But when you think like, oh, I might want certain cards in the graveyard, then it kind of gets better.
Yeah, it's Moonlight Bargain. 3 black, black for an instant. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. For each card, put that card into your graveyard unless you pay 2 life. Then put the rest into your hand.
So you can basically look at the top 5 and say, I want those 2. I'm going to pay 4 life and the other 3 go in the graveyard.
Yeah.
That's the outcome, even though it's worded weird.
It's worded weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's probably worded like that for a reason.
There's probably some rules stuff. I don't know.
They're like, we've broken it. And they're like, ah, just change it around.
Yeah.
But this seems like you could pay 10 life and draw 5 cards for 5 mana.
That seems rough.
It seems a little bit rough. But you can select what you draw and what goes into your graveyard. And when you have a graveyard themed deck, that seems interesting.
It seems fine. It's a little high costed. The 2 life is a lot. But at the same time, I think it has some uses, maybe.
So I compare this in my mind to something like Factor Fiction,
yeah,
where you see 5 cards, things go into your graveyard.
It's an instant.
It's an instant. And it doesn't compare, but Factor Fiction is great.
Right.
So I can kind of get behind this as a black Factor Fiction that costs a little bit of life, and I like that it's an instant speed. So overall, I think it's a fun card, and I like that I can select exactly what goes into my hand and exactly what goes into the graveyard.
So then once we've got things in the graveyard, Gyrus is a recursion commander in a weird way, but does bring things out of the graveyard kind of for one swing until it gets exiled. We talked about this in our preview card episode, but there is some other graveyard recursion in the deck. There's about 4 of those. And then both Gyrus and Thantis get +1/+1 counters in different ways. And so there's actually like no +1/+1 counter synergy in the deck. There's some other creatures that kind of give +1/+1 counters and maybe get +1/+1 counters, but there's no real payoffs. There's no Hardened Scales or, you know, something. There's none of the Outlast Lords or anything like that that says
Inspiring Call or yeah, anything like that.
So that seems to just be something that they're expecting you, if you take the deck apart to and build around one of these two, to sort of do on your own. And the weird thing, and this might be the first time this has ever happened when we've been reviewing decks on the show, is that Thantis doesn't specifically seem to have even a single card that I could find in the deck, and I think I asked you and you couldn't find one either, that synergizes specifically with it. Like, Thantis says all creatures attack each turn, each combat a fable, and then if anybody attacks you or planeswalker you control, it gets +1/+1. So it kind of wants like some creatures to block, I guess. But you got to attack too. It doesn't say all creatures your opponents control attack each combat. You have to. So
I guess it's because it has vigilance, but then a lot of your other creatures don't necessarily have vigilance. There's not a lot of death touch. There's not a lot of combat shenanigans where you can win combat as you force people to attack.
It's a little bit of a head scratcher. I think there's basically no chance that you should run Thantis as the lead singer of this deck. And Gyrus too is out. There's just not enough.
There's not enough creatures I want to get back.
Yeah.
And not enough ways to put them into the graveyard.
And Thantis specifically doesn't seem to do anything with any of the cards in the deck, you know. The whole doesn't add up to more than the sum of his parts there. So
it sounds like we've landed on Lord Windgrace as the head of this deck.
Okay, so let's go back through the little categories here. Ramp and card draw.
Yeah, there's a lot of ramp in this deck, like a lot. And a lot of it is pretty good, although some of the best examples of ramp might be left out. You can go through and find what kind of ramp you like to have, but it gives you a lot of variety. There's a lot of bigger ramp, maybe 4 mana ramp. I think I like ramp that ramps me into my commander. So one way that you can do that is like, 2 and 3 mana ramp. Card draw might be a little bit lacking, but again, it's on the commander.
And true, although it's a 5 drop, I'd like to draw cards before it comes out.
I agree. But there are some things that I didn't count as card draw. Cycling.
Yeah.
It's not really card draw, but it can kind of turn you through your deck. And it does have 3 cycling lands in here so that you can cycle those away.
That makes sense, because you put lands in your graveyard that he can then get back onto the table. So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that helps a lot.
Board wipes and target removal. It's pretty good. We've got 7 and 5. Target removal, 7. Board wipes, 5. What'd you find when looking through the targeted removal and board wipes specifically?
Yeah, I really like one of the new board wipes in...
Oh, we didn't pull it out. Keep talking and I'll find
it. Oh, man, it's great. I really like one of the new board wipes in green because it's on a creature. I like board wipes that are on a creature. It is green, so it only hits flyers. And it also has a +1/+1 counter synergy, which is really cool. I think that there's room for expansion in terms of the board wipes in general. Red has tons of damage-based board wipes. And we're not really going that creature heavy when we're manipulating lands all over the place. So we might need a few board wipes to stabilize.
New card?
Yeah. So there's a green board wipe for flyers that's also in there. But Craig can put it up on the screen. I want to talk about what I think might be...
You talk about that one.
Well, I think that this is like a way more impactful card. This might be the best card out of this whole this whole set.
You mean for like the greater world of Commander?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the greater world of Commander, people are going to be super excited about Windgrace's Judgment. 3 black green for an instant. For any number of opponents, destroy target non-land permanent that player controls.
So each opponent you vindicate, kind of. No, sorry, Utter End.
Yeah.
Instant.
Instant. 5 mana.
Wait a minute. Utter End costs 1 less than this.
Yeah, and you lose life.
Well, that's Anguish I'm making. But.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But still, yeah. What?
That's great.
I guess it doesn't exile. It destroys. So.
Yeah, but still, you hit still. 1 thing from each person. Instant speed.
For 5 mana.
For 5 mana.
Oh, this is a new staple in Golgari, probably.
This is totally a new staple.
Wow, that's a really good card.
When you can hit something for... I mean, in most of these games, you're taking out 3 important critical pieces. I mean, let's just compare this to like Maelstrom Pulse.
Yeah.
For example, which is sorcery speed, 1 green, black.
Takes out 1 thing most of the time.
It takes out 1 thing. People play that. It's a good card.
Well, because you can take out every soul ring, I guess. But because it takes out all...
of the same name.
Permanents of the same name.
Yeah, so it gets tokens and soul rings. It's got some incidental value, but this...
This is going to be better most of the time.
I love that it's instant speed, honestly. I think it's great.
The board wipe for flyers you were talking about is Whiptongue Hydra. It's 5 and a green for a 4/4 with reach. But it says, when Whiptongue Hydra enters the battlefield, destroy all creatures with flying, and then put a 1/1 counter on the Whiptongue Hydra for each creature destroyed this way.
I think this will wipe out decks. People will pick it up and be like, what is going on? Oh, man. I'm so excited about this card.
This creature's better than Thantis, the not Mantis.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's great. Isn't it great?
Really good, yeah.
It's like a bane of progress for flyers?
You want to put that in a Blinky deck.
It's a Lizard Hydra, too. It's got reach.
It's ETB, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, so we're going with Lord Windgrace. I think, you know, one of the things is Saheeli was kind of split more between, like, token strategy and cheating big spells out. Lord, this deck feels way more focused.
It totally does.
He cares about lands going to and from the battlefield, hand, and graveyard, basically.
I want to talk about some of the best cards in the deck.
Okay.
And I think one of the best cards of the deck is kind of boring. It's a reprint, but what it does is it just tells you exactly what this deck wants to do. It's Harrow. That's 2 and a green for an instant. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice a land. Search your library for up to 2 basic land cards, put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. It's instant speed. It gets a land in your graveyard. It ramps you. This is exactly the kind of spell that we want, especially because it's at 3 mana.
This deck would run 10 Harrows if it could.
It totally would.
Yeah.
So at 3 mana, you cast it, you sacrifice 1, you get 2 more onto the battlefield. Windgrace comes out on turn 5, and immediately there's a land in your graveyard if you need it, and immediately you got your engine going. I think it's just solid.
Search your library for up to 2 basic land cards, then put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library. There's no into the battlefield tapped.
Yeah.
So this can kind of
costs
you
1 mana.
Right, exactly. Because you're going to sacrifice also one of maybe the tapped land, bring 2 more in. It's pretty interesting how Harrow plays. It's a very powerful card.
It just works so well with this. I know it's not flashy. I know it's not like the next card Josh is going to read. It's not new and fancy, but it really is sort of the cog that allows your lands engine to work.
All right. So a new card that's one of the best cards in the deck is Turn Timber Sower. It's 2 and a green for a 3/3. 3 mana, 3/3. Pretty good. Elf Druid. Whenever 1 or more land cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, create an 0/1 green plant creature token. So Gitrog Monster is the same similar language as far as like when a land card goes to your graveyard from anywhere. So you cycle a land, you Harrow a land, Lord Windgrace pluses, and you discard a land. You're going to make a plant token in all those circumstances. And then it also says pay green, sacrifice 3 creatures, return target land card from your graveyard to your hand, so you can get lands back by sacrificing your plants. If that's what you want to do.
This just sounds like a huge value engine on a card.
And it costs 3.
It costs 3. And so you're going to be putting lands, moving them into your graveyard from anywhere.
Yep.
You mill something over. Who cares?
It has self-mill in the deck.
You cycle like all of those ways, you're just putting plant and plant and plant and plant and plant. And you think like, oh, you know, they're zero ones. They're not. No, this is fodder. And it's literally on the card that you can cash three of those stupid things in and get not just any land back, but the specific land that you need back to your hand, creating more landfall.
You could get a fetch land back, right? And then yeah. you could play it and sack it and get a plant immediately back. Yeah, it's so, so good. Just the way that that kind of... Like we said, this deck cares about lands going to and from the battlefield, hand, and graveyard, and this just pays you off for doing it. Okay, let's talk about the worst cards in the deck. So the deck comes with some cards that don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Each precon does sort of do this. They're either planted there for the other commanders, or in some cases, they'll actually put a card in a deck that is sort of supposed to go in one of the other decks. It's weird.
Yeah. I want to talk about Loyal Apprentice. It's one in a red for a 2/1 human artificer with haste. It has Lieutenant. I love Lieutenant. Basically, it is a special ability that it gains when your commander is also on the battlefield. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you control your commander, create a 1/1 colorless Thopter artifact creature token with flying. That token gains haste until end of turn.
If it's out with your commander, it makes a Thopter every turn.
Just seems like haste. This is in the wrong deck. Like, why do we want a Thopter in this?
It's great in the Saheeli deck.
Yeah.
Because it cares about artifacts on the battlefield. It has a token sub theme. Like, that matters. Lord Windgrace doesn't care about tokens, doesn't care about artifacts, doesn't care about Thopters specifically. Neither does Gyrus, and neither does Thantis, really. So I think what they did is they just... Well, I know what they did. Is the loyal... there's a loyal cycle. So Loyal Apprentice is one. There's another card in here called Loyal Subordinate. That's the black one. There's a loyal in each color. And for each deck, they just put in all the loyal X that's in that color.
And this is why we point these out to you, that we're like, look, this really was designed for something else. Identify it, pull it out.
Yep. Another of the worst cards in the deck, or the head scratchers, is Blood Tracker. It's 3 and a black for a 2/2 vampire wizard with flying. It says you can pay a black and pay 2 life, and then you put a 1/1 counter on Blood Tracker. And then when Blood Tracker leaves the battlefield, draw a card for each 1/1 counter on it. There's just nothing going on with this card that has anything to do with what's going on in this deck. There's no sacrifice outlets. There's no blink shenanigans because it says leaves the battlefield. So there's no way to really take advantage of Blood Tracker other than just straightforward. I guess I'm going to add a couple of counters and hope that nobody exiles it or tucks it or bounces it. I guess, no.
It says leave the battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like you're paying 2 life to make it bigger and...
And draw a card later at a time that you really want a way yourself to make it leave the battlefield. Because otherwise, you might get to draw those cards at a time when the player's about to kill you and doesn't care.
I like this in +1/+1 counter synergies. Imagine if you could pay...
Hardened scales.
You had hardened scales and you double up the counters. Maybe you move the counters over from something else. Imagine
if Atraxa or something.
Doubling season, Atraxa, you proliferate it.
Sounds great.
Marchesa, you can put the counter on it anyways, and then you have sacrifice outlets there to draw more cards.
And it comes back into play.
And it comes back, you get extra +1/+1 counters.
It's so good in Marchesa.
It's a vampire, it's a wizard. Vampires have +1/+1 counter synergies all the time where you can move counters around. It's so great in so many other decks, and you look at it here, and it just makes you a little bit sad.
It doesn't make any sense in this deck, yeah.
Take it out. Play it in your other decks. It's cool. It's really cool.
Okay, let's talk about the notable reprints in this deck. There really isn't much as far as like value or anything we're really excited that's reprinted. There's one card, I guess, and it's been reprinted a bunch already, but it is a card people like. It's Avenger of Zendikar. I mean, you can read it, might as well.
Avenger of Zendikar is 5 green-green for a 5/5 elemental. When Avenger of Zendikar enters the battlefield, create a 0/1 green plant creature token for each land you control. It has landfall. Look at that landfall synergy. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may put a +1/+1 counter on each plant creature you control. Josh?
Yes.
Did we just mention 0/1 plants earlier on in this podcast?
Yes, that turn timber sower will create plants. And they'll create them before Avenger of Zendikar comes out, but Avenger doesn't care where those plants came from. If you play a land, it's going to pump all of them. So that's synergy.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
This is also a deck that's just going to get a lot of lands in play. All of its ramp is land-based ramp, like Cultivates and things like that, and Harrow. And then also Lord Windgrace has a -3 ability that is put 2 lands from your graveyard into play. So if you play Avengers Zendikar and Lord Windgrace is out, on your next turn, you play a land for turn, activate the minus, put two lands in play, +3/+3 to all your plants.
People are constantly trying to do that. They're trying to engineer that on their own, and now they have a commander that does it for them. People try to hold their fetch lands and try to create this scenario, and then boom, you have a deck that automatically does it.
And of course, if Lord Windgrace is getting back two fetch lands onto the battlefield, which he's likely to do, because if you have played fetch lands, they've gone to the graveyard, then all of a sudden 5-6 lands are coming into play for the Avenger. Yeah, it's definitely one of the best cards in the deck, as well as being a notable reprint.
That's right. So, out of the box, this feels really decent about moving lands back and forth from your graveyard into your hand, all of that other stuff.
It's good at doing the land dance.
Yeah, it really is good at doing the land dance.
Yeah, put them here. Exactly. Put them on the battlefield, put it back in the graveyard. I like that dance, by the way. It's super
fun. A great dance. and we just talked about one card that sort of weaponizes that land dance. But there aren't very many others, honestly. There's that dragon that has landfall, and there's a landfall theme in there. But some of the landfall triggers that we get aren't that good. We pointed out the good ones. And so we might need to weaponize this land dance a little bit more.
Yeah, you need to get more payoff so that the land dance basically makes you win the game rather than just spins your wheels and doesn't do much. You want to accomplish something while doing it, right? So
we're going to mention some obvious cards here for inclusion. And some really great ones. I'm really excited about this section because there's so much potential in this deck.
Well, this is the deck that a lot of us have wanted to build in some way, shape, or form for a long time, and now you finally can do it with this commander. And I think, you know, to a lot of you, this is just what you thought of when you see this get spoiled for the first time. But not to everybody. You know, a lot of people coming in at this point in the game are coming in because the commander precons have come out, and that's a really good entry point for people, and so they don't necessarily know. So we're going to go over some obvious cards. But they're obvious because they're really good in the deck.
They're so good. I'm so excited.
Okay.
All right. The first thing is talking about more landfall. And we have to talk about Omnath, Locus of Rage.
Yes.
3 red, green, green for a 5/5 legendary elemental. Omnath, Locus of Rage has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, put a 5/5 red and green elemental creature token onto the battlefield. Sounds great. Whenever Omnath, Locus of Rage, or another elemental you control dies, Omnath deals 3 damage to target creature or player.
So you just bolt stuff when...
You just create a crazy army with all of your landfall.
I think it's 3 damage to any target now, too. We're reading the card, but I think it... because
Chris, creature or player, yes, it's any target.
It's Planeswalker now, too, which in a world where there are more Planeswalkers as commanders, it's even more relevant because your ability to shoot them directly is going to be really good sometimes.
By the way, this is after you've generated 5/5s.
Yeah, which you've probably swung with. That's huge. But I think if that's all it did, it would be fine.
Yeah, it'd be Rampaging Baloths, kind of.
It'd be fine, but not amazing. But the fact that if they board wipe, you go pew, 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 makes it huge. And when there's Planeswalkers specifically as commanders, what happens is a great thing to do when you have Planeswalker out is board wipe. Get rid of all the creatures because your Planeswalker stays, right? Wrath of God, Supreme Verdict, Toxic Deluge, all that stuff that says, you know, destroy all creatures doesn't hit Planeswalkers. Omnath, Locus of Rage means if your board state's at a certain size and they do that, you get to shoot their Planeswalker with the 3 damage from the elemental. So,
and I've seen Omnath have a board state enough where no one can board wipe because it will literally just kill an opponent.
Where you're just bashing in and they could even block and you're like, fine, because I'll just throw the 3 damage at your face. Yeah. This card is ridiculous. Pretty sweet. The next one is one of my personal favorites. It's Tireless Tracker. This is an underrated card in just a lot of green decks. It's 2 and a green for a human scout. It's a 3/2. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, investigate, which means you create a clue artifact token, and the clue says, pay 2, sacrifice this artifact, draw a card. I think I talked about last episode how that's all I want in life is just a bunch of clue tokens. And it says, whenever you sacrifice a clue, put a 1/1 counter on Tireless Tracker. That part actually can matter because you can get up to like, it's like a 7/6 or something, and it actually can start like bashing in. But in general, the fact that every time you play a land, you get sort of an on layaway draw card for later.
You're going to have so much landfall. You're going to be bringing cards back. This is card draw and a threat. And I love that you can, like you said, save them for later. Save them. You can keep mana up, and then you'll be like, at the end of a turn, I'll crack a clue. And we know that we're not just playing one land a turn. We're playing multiple lands a turn. Getting them back from our graveyard, this is going to be so much value.
Yeah. Tireless Tracker, so good in this deck. I did not realize how cheap this next card is. Planeswalkers.
Tireless Tracker is a little bit expensive. It's like Tireless up to $8 now.
Yeah. I meant the next card we're about to talk about. But yeah, Tireless Trackers. Actually, I think it's your most expensive card on your list.
Yeah. But this one's surprisingly cheap. Nissa Vital Force. A cheap Planeswalker? Yeah. Yeah, kind of. Three green green for a 5 loyalty Planeswalker. Plus 1. Untap target land you control until your next... Oh my gosh, what did I do?
I don't have an oversized card of that.
Okay. Until you're... Oh my God. How did you do that? And I was not able to.
You want me to read it?
No, I got it under control.
Okay.
How were you able to do... I literally touched his phone and then something changed. Never mind. Your phone. It becomes a 5/5 elemental creature token with haste. It's still a land.
So you untap a land and it becomes a 5/5. Got it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
-3. Return target permanent card from your graveyard to your hand. That's solid. That's recursion. You might just change that in immediately. But really, the ultimate, which is very attainable.
Yeah, because it's a -6 and she starts with 5.
Yeah. You get an emblem with whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may draw a card.
Broken. So
you play Nissa, you tick her up once, and then boom, you have an emblem that basically... How many cards would you draw in this deck?
A bajillion.
All of them.
You're playing lands, you're cycling lands, you're, you know, fetch lands and whatnot. Yeah, it's really, really good.
It's crazy.
I can't believe this card is like under $5. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Go pick it up right now because it's probably not going to be worth that after we just said that. Okay, the next card. So we're into a new section now. It's extra land drops. Oh, whoops. I did not bring up those cards on my phone. But that's okay because I know what they do.
Yeah.
Mina and Den Wildborn is a 4-drop, 2, a red and a green. The really important part about Mina and Den is it says you can play an additional land on each of your turns.
The really important part is that Josh doesn't quite remember the power and toughness.
Yeah. What is it?
It's a 4-4.
4-4. 4-mana 4-4?
Really? Yeah.
It's pretty
good.
Isn't
it great?
Yeah. And but the important part is you can play an additional land on each of your turns. And there are a bunch of creatures and effects that do this in green. And you kind of want to stack the deck with a bunch of them. This is kind of one of the cheaper ones, I think.
And for 1 and a green, you can return a land card to your hand to give target creature trample.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, too. Returning lands for extra landfall is great. Returning lands is not that bad. And giving things trample can be really, really good.
You usually do that like once a game to kill somebody. You don't... In decks like these, you don't normally need the extra landfall trigger.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of lands.
You're usually cramped on how many you're allowed to play per turn, but once in a while it does come up. Yeah, super good card.
Also, Mina and Den is very inexpensive. Like, we didn't talk... There are a lot of extra land drop cards
Azusa or
Oracle of Moldaya.
Expensive.
Is expensive. Mina and Den is, like, under a dollar.
Yeah,
it's bulk. Like, it's bulk. It's like 40 cents.
This next one's cheap too, right?
No, it's expensive. Sorry.
Wayward Swordtooth is?
Yeah, but it's not gonna. As soon as like things with standard change, like it'll be fine.
It's played in standard?
I don't know if it's played in standard, but it's not cheap.
Okay.
Like I expect this to be bulk.
Yeah.
In like 2 years
when
or
rotation
whatever, like
happens.
That. When rotation happens. Yeah. Right now it's not. It's like $5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Wayward Swordtooth is 2 and a green for a 5/5. And it says you may play an additional land on each of your turns. And then it has ascend and... Oh, sorry. It's not a creature or can attack a block until you have City's Blessing. So once you have 10 permanents, then it turns on kind of as a 5/5. Until then, it's just an enchantment, basically, that says you can play an additional land, which, by the way, if it never turned into a creature, you'd be totally fine with it.
Totally great with it. Yeah. But the fact that it does turn into a creature is so cool. And you're going to have a lot of lands on the battlefield. Yeah. You're going to be able to turn this on very easily. And one thing I really like is that you want to dump the lands in the early game. And then in the late game, sometimes you have an exploration or a burgeoning that's just sitting around not doing anything. But instead, if it's on a Wayward Swordtooth...
It starts going, rawr! That's what dinosaurs sound
You
like.
Are required to make that sound if you attack with a Wayward Swordtooth.
No.
That's more intimidating.
I don't know. Sound like a bear. That's pretty good. Sound like a choo-choo. All right. Now we're going to the next category, which is land to graveyard synergies or shenanigans. This is because Lord Windgrace is putting things directly into the graveyard lands specifically most of the time and getting them back out and putting them in play. We've talked about fetch lands and Turn Timber Sower is the one that makes plant tokens. Like, this is the thing you want to do. That's why the dance is not just battlefield to hand. It's battlefield graveyard hand. That's the sort of cycle you want to go through. So I used to have this deck. It's Titania. Protector of Argoth. She's 3 green-green for a 5/3 legendary creature. Elemental for Omnath, just saying. When Titania, Protector of Argoth, enters the battlefield, return target land card from your graveyard to the battlefield. So she automatically gets value and to the battlefield. So she ramps you.
It's great.
It only works in decks with fetch lands and cycling lands and a planeswalker that literally puts lands into your graveyard and stuff like that. And then it says, when a land you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, create a 5/3 green elemental creature token. Synergizes so well with Omnath. Goes in all the Omnath decks. This is one of the sort of big three.
Totally.
Sort of land matters or land dance commanders that we've had for a while that everybody's been wanting to cram into one deck that Lord Windgrace makes happen.
Now notice this says from battlefield to graveyard. A lot of the other ones we talked about is from anywhere. But this one specifically from the battlefield to the graveyard, that's enough. It's good enough like that. It's totally fine. But you should know that it doesn't work with Windgrace's specific activation.
Correct.
Because that's discarding a land.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's still going to be really, really good. And you're going to have enough ways to get lands to the battlefield that, or into the graveyard that you're never going to worry about it. The next one is the other of the big three, as it were. It was Omnath, Titania, and...
the Gitrog Monster.
Gitrogged.
3 black-green for a 6/6 legendary frog horror.
How is Thantis a 6-mana 5/5 with vigilance and reach, and Gitrog is a 5-mana 6/6 with death touch? I don't want, man, Thantis is just...
They do want, the Wizards does want you to take the cards you have, tweak the deck, like look for cards that make it better, like the Gitrog Monster and stuff like that.
Thantis could be like a 7/7. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to trash talk the spider. He doesn't have a lot going for him.
You feel bad for him?
I feel bad for him. Jeez. He's the
I respect Thantis. He's the fourth best commander. Tell him the truth. Your raid is bad, Thantis. And also, you should be a Mantis. Okay, go.
The Gitrog Monster has death touch. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice the Gitrog Monster unless you sacrifice a land. I will choose to sacrifice a land. You may play an additional land on each of your turns. It's pretty good. Whenever one or more land cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, draw a card. So when you activate your commander to put a land into your graveyard,
you discard a land and draw 2 cards, and then Gitrog triggers and you draw a 3rd card.
When you sacrifice a land at the beginning of each of your turns, what happens with Titania? You draw a card, your Titania makes something. When you have extra land drops, because this gives you an extra land drop, you create more elementals with your Omnath Locus of Rage. It's amazing.
It also works so well with Lord Windgrace because you put a land in the graveyard, you draw 3 cards. And then on your next upkeep, you sacrifice one of your lands, it goes to the graveyard, and you minus Lord Windgrace and put the 2 lands into the battlefield. So that wheel right there is just like a value wheel.
That is so much value. Yeah. I'm exhausted right now. It's like...
just those two, right? And if you get either Titania or Omnath out now, every time you're doing that, you're creating these 5-power, you know, a couple of 5-power
and the landfall triggers we're getting. Yeah. It's, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think this deck is really just wants to get Lord Windgrace out with any one of those. And if you get 2 of them, then you're probably going to win. Like if you get 2, if you untap with 2 of the big 3 out with Lord Windgrace, you've got that game probably. This is really cool. So you picked a Saga card to put in the deck. We haven't seen Sagas make a very big splash in Commander, and I think it just hasn't been long enough yet. Our format encompasses so many cards that it can be difficult for.
I like 3 Sagas specifically, and this is one of the ones that I like a lot.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, I just wouldn't... It takes a while for it to sort of slip into my consciousness, so I might not have even considered it. It's the Mending of Dominaria. It's 3 green-green for a Saga, which is an enchantment. And as you know, Sagas have sort of 3 chapters, and they come into play. And after your draw step, they'll go through the chapter. So when it comes into play, you put the top 2 cards of your library into your graveyard. Then you may return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. So you mill 2. And then return a creature from your graveyard to your hand. Doesn't have to be a creature that was just milled. It just could already be in there. And then chapter 2 is the same thing. So on your next draw step, after you draw your card, it will do this again. So mill 2 more, return a creature card. So at that point, it's drawn you 2 cards, kind of. It's milled you for 4. And then on chapter 3, It says, return all land cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. Then shuffle your graveyard into your library. So you've had Lord Windgrace dropping cards in there. You've had Gitrog Monster making you sacrifice cards. You have fetch lands and things. And all of the sudden, Mending of Dominaria. It's also milled you, so it's probably put a couple of lands in there.
It maybe draws you some cards back too, some creatures.
Gets you a couple creatures back.
That Tireless Tracker that died.
Titania or Omnath maybe, because those are lightning rods that people have to kill. You get them back in your hand, and then all of a sudden, boom, 6, 7, 8, 9. If it's late in the game, it can be 12 or 15 lands back into the battlefield. And all of a sudden, you're just in like a super good position. Also, they don't come back in tapped, everybody. They come just back into the battlefield, which is a huge deal, because when it goes off, suddenly that turn, you just might have 10 extra mana available right now. What would you spend a ton of mana on?
Well, that's actually one of the things that I noticed about the deck. You get this engine going, and sometimes when you have engines, you just keep engineering and dirtling, and you keep
you
doing
can get
that.
Stuck in the mud where like you're just like turning the wheels, but nothing's actually
I'm moving
being
lands and moving lands and moving lands. Now, if you have some of these great cards on the battlefield, it's hard to get stuck. Gitrog Monster drawing extra cards, really hard to get stuck. Titania or Omnath making elementals.
That's
yeah, you're
going to
win
stuck.
That game. Yeah.
Gitrog itself can just spin you.
Oh yeah, totally.
Right, because it's not actually putting threats out. But
I mean, you described the Mending of Dominaria getting a huge amount of lands back. You need a way to sort of weaponize this and turn it into something. Let's talk about a card called Genesis Wave. X, green, green, green for a sorcery. Reveal the top X cards of your library. You may put any number of permanent cards with converted mana cost X or less from among them onto the battlefield. Then put all the cards revealed this way that weren't put on the battlefield into your graveyard. This is surprisingly inexpensive from the reprint. So I think people should pick up Genesis Wave. And it's great. Especially in these lands matter deck, because you will have so many lands that really matter for your deck specifically that you can put them all on the battlefield. A lot of the cards that we're talking about that really do something are permanents. The Gitrog Monster, Omnath, Titania, even the Mending of Dominaria, they're all permanents. They're all going straight onto the battlefield.
I mean, this is a deck that's going to be very permanent heavy, have very few instants and sorceries. And that's the perfect kind of deck for Genesis Wave, because when you do it, if you do it for 17, you're looking to get 15 permanents in the battlefield, which is insanity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that card will just win you the game a lot of times. Okay, the very last card that you have in the finishing power or win condition category is a new card from Dominaria. It's Multani Yavimaya's Avatar. It's 4 green-green for an elemental avatar. Elemental.
Ooh, elemental.
It's a 0/0. It has reach and trample, but it says Multani gets +1/+1 for each land you control and each land in your graveyard. So it doesn't care where the lands are. If they're out on the battlefield or in the graveyard, it counts them. And then you can pay 1 and a green and return 2 lands you control to their owner's hand and return Multani from your graveyard to your hand. So this is just a very difficult to kill threat. You have to exile it basically or tuck it or something, because if you destroy it, the player is just going to return it to their hand and return 2 lands to their hand, which they kind of
nothing.
It's not that bad. Can be good for them in some cases where they're going to hit landfall or discard it to Lord Windgrace to draw 2 cards rather than, you know, rummage. So
remember, this deck also has some self-mill involved. You are going to be chucking lands in your graveyard, and this checks for lands in your graveyard. This is just a really solid finisher. It's got some recursive value to it. I really like the fact that it counts the lands in your graveyard. Something like Uvenvald Hydra is really great, but it only counts the lands on the battlefield. And I think in this deck specifically, as you're upgrading it, it's great too. Uvenvald Hydra gets any land you want from your deck. The mana base in this leaves a little bit of something to be desired. It doesn't have the utility lands that you might have. Maybe as you upgrade your utility lands, you include the Hydra instead of Multani. But right now, Multani is going to be a house in this deck.
Multani has trample naturally, too. I think that's a really big point, because he's likely to be a 20-20 or something. So, or bigger, just based on the way this land dance is going to happen. And that makes him way more hard to ignore than something you can just chump block every turn. So I like that a lot. Okay, we normally don't talk about mana base on these episodes, because that's like a whole nother thing you got to tackle for the pre-cons. And usually the mana base is like fine.
Yeah, you don't need a whole new mana base being rebuilt for 10 cards. You know what I mean? Like we're putting in 10 cards. The mana base is fine.
But this deck specifically, we did want to mention some things because it cares so much about its lands that if you have the ability to even switch a little bit around in the mana base, it will make a bigger difference. Like putting in a fetch land into the Saheeli deck, it's not going to up the power level of your deck very much at all. In this deck, it makes a much bigger difference. So yeah, go ahead.
You have the opportunity for that fetch land to get it back, to create an elemental, to
draw your cards,
all sorts of stuff. It's really good. Yeah. But we don't need to tell you to put, you know, $30, $40, $50 fetch lands in here. What I think that could be a really easy include are the two cycling lands that are in two colors. That's Canyon Slough and Sheltered Thicket. Okay. Both of those are there. Well, they are fetchable if you happen to have fetch lands. Nothing in here. Actually, there are things in here right now that will fetch it. The slow fetches are in this deck.
Yep, the slow
fetches. So the slow fetches will fetch these. They come into play tapped, but you can cycle them for two generic mana. Cycling lands are great. They're so good because they synergize with Windgrace. They synergize with some of the lands that go straight to your graveyard. They really let you churn through your deck because remember, you have a really high land count. You have 43 lands in this deck. And so you might need to chuck it and get something more relevant. And also,
because you could very often flood out.
Yeah, and these cards are not that expensive. We're not talking about expensive fetch lands. We're just talking about something that fixes, cycles, draws you cards, synergizes with your commander. It's a no-brainer for this deck.
I would consider the desert cycling deserts from Amon Kheth.
Even the
as
deserts,
well,
too.
Because there's three of those. There's five, but there's three in your colors. And you could run the green, red, and black ones. And they're two mana to cycle. And that could just be very worth it. You figure if you have Gitrog out or you have Titania in your hand, you want to put at least one land in the graveyard. And, you know, that is. Are they in there?
No, but I don't even think they have the two generic cyclers in here. I think they only have three cyclers.
And there's like Ash Barons and some other stuff.
Yeah, so they don't have Ash Barons.
Yeah.
They only have the single mana. These three are the only cyclers.
Whatever lands you have with the word cycling on it, you want to put it in there. And anything that fetches a land, that sacrifices its land and goes in. And I would put in, if you've got it, anything that also is just a land that sacrifices lands for any reason. So a strip mine. Yeah. Those are more expensive.
Lotus. Yeah, but there are nine cheap examples of cycling lands that aren't in this deck. They only have three cycling lands in this deck.
Yeah, I would put all of them in, honestly, because they're going to just be so good with what this deck wants to do. And sometimes, you might play Lord Windgrace and immediately -3 just for the ramp, and you're going to want two lands in the graveyard when you do that.
Totally. So I would totally do that.
And if you cycle two away, that basically has drawn you two cards,
your
right?
Early turns, you're like, I don't have anything to do. Cycle, Lord Windgrace, then gets it back, ramps.
And his -3 basically just drew you two cards.
Yeah.
So, which would be a perfectly good negative. So, pay attention to the mana base a little bit more on this one than you normally would, and I think it'll get a lot stronger. Okay, we're not going to talk about all the cards that we would take out, but there will be a list in the show notes. So the 10 cards that DJ listed that we should add to this deck are Omnath, Locus of Rage, Tireless Tracker, Nissa, Vital Force, Mina and Den, Wildborn, Wayward Swordtooth, Titania, Protector of Argoth, the Gitrog Monster, Mending of Dominaria, Genesis Wave, and Multani Yavimaya's Avatar. And the 10 cards we would take out of the deck are listed again in the show notes, so make sure to pay attention to that. All right, to the listeners, what do you think about this Lord Windgrace deck? Are you as excited as we are? So far, it's my favorite of the Planeswalkers and things that we've seen that have been revealed. I don't know when this episode is going to come out, how much of it will have been spoiled, how much of Commander 2018 will have been spoiled.
Do you know what I want to know? Because honestly, like, we're all going to geek out about Lands Matter. There's going to be tons of stuff to talk about. I want to know what you use this spider for.
What do you do? Okay, that's it. Actually, I'm changing to the listeners. That's a really good point. Forget what you think about Windgrace. I know you think it's cool, just like we do.
We can still geek out in the comments. It's fine. We'll talk about it.
But the bigger question I want answered is Thantis the Warweaver. I'm going to read the card again, and then you tell us in the comments, how do you build this deck? What kind of cards go in it? It's 3 black, green, red for a 5/5 Vigilance Reach Spider. All creatures attack each combat if able. Whenever a creature attacks you or a Planeswalker you control, put a 1/1 counter on Thantis, the War Weaver. That's a good one. I like that. Something else I like is cardkingdom.com/commandzone. If you use our affiliate link when you order all these sweet cards for the Lord Windgrace deck, you'll be supporting Game Nights, this podcast, all of our content, all the extra content we're doing for Commander 2018. If you like our stuff and you want it to keep happening, We love it if you support us in any way, but honestly, this is the best way because you're a Magic player. You want to buy Magic cards. You're going to do that anyway. Just use the affiliate link, and as an added bonus, value side gravy, you just continue to support us without doing anything you wouldn't normally do. We do appreciate everybody that takes advantage of that affiliate link. And, you know, if you're going to build the Lord Windgrace deck, you really should get the Lord Windgrace playmat and the Lord Windgrace deck box and the Lord Windgrace sleeves. You will look pretty sweet if you roll up with all that stuff and your deck together.
I like this art a lot. Yeah, this art I really is sweet. Do.
And also, like I said before, Ultra Pro is making these cool scroll banners that you can hang on the wall in your house, in your game room, in your game night studio set, wherever it may be. And so look out for those at your LGS or online retailer like Card Kingdom. Okay, now it's time for the end step where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. Do you have a second one?
Of course.
Man, you are just on it.
I got more.
He's
I got
a pro.
More.
You got more?
I got, well, yeah.
Don't tell me that because I'm just going to take it for granted, but go ahead.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
You have a list.
I do. But right. Remember, you've been doing this for how long?
Yeah, a long time.
Oh yeah. And like, and they're just getting to know me right now. So I'm just like pulling stuff. I just go over to my, I'm like, what do I like anyways?
Go
yeah.
DJ, go.
Yeah. Today I want to talk about an author, but I've talked about authors before. I want to talk about a comic book author.
Oh, okay.
Brian K. Vaughan.
All right. I'm not familiar. I'm not a big familiar. Comic book guy.
Is Jimmy a big comic book guy?
I think a little bit, but not a lot.
Yeah. No. I don't think you guys are big comic book guys. And I'm not necessarily.
I seem like I should be. Like I like peripherally stuff similar to it. And I think I just never happened to get into it. I think I would like comics if I like tried to.
Do you know what? I'm not necessarily a comic book guy either. I'm a graphic novel guy.
Oh, okay.
Because, and sometimes when they have serialized comics, I like that too, because I see larger story arcs. I really enjoy the development, and sometimes comics are a little bit, you know, punchy for me.
I do like graphic novels more, like Dark Knight Returns, Watchmen, Mouse. Those are ones.
All fantastic examples.
Yeah. So
I will present to you just a really amazing author. And I personally like Vaughn because of a few things that he's done. Number one, Ex Machina is great, but also one that I, the reason why I brought it up is because Why the Last Man is a comic series.
I know the series.
And they recently got picked up by FX and they just started announcing their casting. So it looks like it's actually going to happen. And FX has been doing a lot of good stuff. They did like, what have they done? Like Fargo and The Americans and
Archer, the Biker Gang one.
The Biker Gang one. I don't know. The name of
Anarchy.
One,
but Sons of Anarchy. That's them, right?
I don't know. Uh-oh. But anyways, they're I don't know. That could have been them, but that's been off the air for a little while.
Yeah.
The People versus O.J. Simpson. So they've been doing.
Oh, my friend shot that.
Yeah, so they've been doing some really good stuff, and Why the Last Man is awesome. Okay, and I think that they're going to do some really good stuff. And
so
also,
we're excited about this show. Is this a TV show?
It's a okay. So series? I'm skeptical of all adaptations. I believe it's a TV series that they're going to do about Why the Last Man, but it'll be cool. But also, he's still writing, and one of his series that he's doing right now called Saga is great. It's award-winning.
This is a comic
it's fantastic
book
comic book series. Okay. Yeah, it's great. They're collected together. They have these anthologies, and I think that many of you out there are going to be in the comments and be like, "It's great. He's amazing." And some of you out there will be like, "You know what? I've been looking for a really great comic book series, something I can just buy cheaply off of Amazon, in a trade paperback form or something like that, and just read through it. And it's weird, and the art is great, and the storylines are compelling. I really like it a lot."
Saga. Okay, I'll add it to the list. I definitely
Saga, Why the Last Man, Ex Machina, everything that he does is really good.
Sweet. Okay. So what's the name again?
Brian K. Vaughan.
Brian K. Vaughan. Make sure to check that out. And another thing you should check out is the Masters of Modern podcast, our sister podcast, Alex Kessler, Ben Bateman. They talk about the modern format and all things competitive Magic. They're also doing YouTube videos now for their episodes, which is something kind of new for them. You can find them on collected.company right next to us, or on Twitter at the MMcast, or on YouTube. You can just type in Masters of Modern and they'll pop up. While you're there, you should also type in Jumbo Commander and find DJ's channel. You know, DJ does a lot of deck techs, and not just deck techs. You did something sort of, what would you call it? A call out to players that now might be the time to buy Iconic Masters boxes.
Yeah, I do that. Whenever I buy a bunch of cards, I kind of like, is this a good time to buy it? Like, I go through self-reflection, but then also I'll make a video about it.
Yeah, should I be telling people, hey, this is a good time to buy
this?
Yeah,
like, so when rotation happens and everyone will be freaking about the Guilds of Ravnica and talking about the new cards, I'll be there being like, hey, remember all the good stuff in Kaladesh? And then you'll thank me.
Yeah, yeah. So that's DJ just looking out for you all the time. Make sure to check out his channel.
Thank you. Our editor is Craig Blanchett, and special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Card animations at Living Cards MTG.
Jeffrey does such great stuff, like this jungle river behind us, which is from Rivals of Ixalan, I believe.
I feel peaceful just right now being next to it. It's great.
I feel excited because we've got two more Commander 2018 decks to go after this one, and then we've got some decks to build based upon the secondary commanders. There is so much to do, and we're going to have so much extra bonus content for you all. So stick around. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.